B-Pod Studios.
This. Whee! Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
All right, one of the things we hit on earlier, and I'm just fully going to admit that the conversation, when I have it for more than 5 minutes, starts to bug crap out of me. But Brady Jordan, Brady and, you know, I think Brady and other football players, that discussion's over. Brady and other quarterbacks, over. Brady in the history of the NFL, best player, I think that conversation's over.
He's obliterated the NFL record book.
He's it. Okay, so now if you want to have a Brady debate, you got to go Brady Michael Jordan, Brady Muhammad Ali, Brady Jack Nicklaus, Brady Wayne Gretzky, Brady Bill Russell, okay? And while I'm okay introducing it, like, when we get into the Brady Jordan thing, it turns into you either have to rip Brady or rip Jordan, which is right. So freaking dumb. It bugs the crap out of me. So I don't know how much I can go with it. But, and so, I mean, I don't even want to give you an answer. I think Brady Jordan, you can pick either one.
Toss up.
A coin flip.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, to me, that's the air he's in. I'm talking rarefied air. And there's only a handful of players that I felt this way after they won the fifth one, that, you know, he's the Jordan of the NFL. But now 9 Super Bowls, like you added up, there's only a handful of players that you put in this group. And to me, it's Brady, Jordan, and Russell.
Okay, so.
Now, talking team sports.
I know. So we take out Muhammad Ali, we take out Jack Nicklaus, we take out Federer, Jokic, and this crap. We take out, you know, so we take out
Serena.
Take out all that stuff. So it's team sports. Russell, I discount because, again, it was an 8-team league when he started, and it was not a competitive league. I'm sorry. Yeah, he had Wilt, but that was about it. It was just not a competitive sport when he came on. So not his fault, but that's just the fact. So Brady, Jordan, Gretzky, we talked about earlier. I think it's Brady, Jordan. And there's reasons why to pick one guy, not to pick the other. If I were picking Jordan, I would say that Brady won a couple of his championships where he wasn't the most important player, right? I think that a couple of Super Bowls, they could have won this game with other quarterbacks.
Sure, they could have, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I can name at least two up the top of my head where he wasn't the primary focus.
Do you include 01?
Yep.
Okay, so to me, 04 starts there because they did everything that year. And I think a lot of quarterbacks could have won it for him in 04. They were just so far and away the best team in the league in 04. 01, yeah, he was a game manager, except 121, no timeouts on the
sure.
clock in the Super Bowl. So I go back and forth on that. But there's a couple there with Brady where you can debate. Could they win it with another quarterback? The Bulls without Jordan?
Nothing.
Are doing nothing.
No, forget it.
Nothing
right.
ever, anywhere, nothing, zero, zero, nothing, nothing.
He was the finals MVP in those 6 appearances.
So that's in Jordan's category. In Brady's category, 6-3 is better than 6-0. I'm sorry. 6-3 is better than 6-0. He made 3 more finals than Jordan. I don't hold the losses against him. I also think that the fact that Brady's done it over 17, now going on 18 years, is better than 6-8.
I also think it's easier to dominate in basketball as a great player than it is in football.
I think that's fair.
I mean, again, ask Dan Marino about that.
More conducive to it, right?
Yeah, it's just there's so many other variables, you know? Like, so again, I suppose you could then minimize his ultimate greatness as a result of that. But in basketball, if you're the best player on the floor, you stay out there, you can control the whole game. Football, you have to deal with other things.
I know you had a thought on this as it related to the coaches as well.
So look, I just think that, you know, we always talk about Brady as the GOAT. Brady is the GOAT. GOAT, 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 GOAT. I get it. But the fact is, the reality is that Belichick is probably higher in the coaching, hierarchy than Brady is in the football, in the player hierarchy. And I'm talking all sports now. Like, if you're going to talk rarefied air with Belichick, who belongs in the same breath? When people say Phil Jackson, I want to puke. Phil Jackson couldn't hold Belichick's jock. He couldn't polish his shoes, for crying out loud. Like, I look at the whole thing and say, Phil Jackson had Michael Jordan, Shaq, Kobe. In that league, it's different. It just is. It's different. I've never looked at Phil Jackson as this master strategist. Maybe he was a motivator. You know, he's able to play sort of head games with some of his star players, all of that stuff.
Can you put any basketball coach in a football coach's category?
So I say no. I say no, but I also think that does a disservice to a couple of guys who I think were unique as basketball coaches.
Gino Auriemma?
No.
Very good, Murray.
So one is Red, but you know, Red was also a GM. It's different. He was sort of a... But the point is with Red, he was ahead of his time.
He was.
Right? He outthought everybody. He was was two steps ahead all the time. And that, to me, is the parallel to Belichick and John Wooden. Like, Wooden to me was sort of the Bill Walsh of college basketball. Like, same kind of guy, you know, cerebral, you know, a thinker, understood it. But again, it's basketball. And to me, there's a, I don't know, the, if you were to say who's the single greatest coach in the history of sports, I think Belichick's in the conversation. I don't know with who else.
So I gave you one on the email. I mean, I think you mentioned it, and then I looked up some stuff, and I know no one cares. And I'm not telling you that a hockey coach is as important as a football coach. It's not. It's just not. But Scotty Bowman has a record that would rival Bill Belichick. He won 9 Stanley Cups. He went to 13 finals. And I'm just telling you, his resume...
No, Bowman's a good one.
...computes. His resume belongs in the conversation. What, you know, I just... he also coached the 70s Canadiens, Mario Lemieux with the Penguins, and those 90s Red Wings teams. It's not like he was taking these bum teams, you know, to championships. He had great, great talent. But I'm just telling you, 9 championships, 13 finals in a, you know, and it's not basketball. He deserves a mention, but I'm still, just given what a football coach does, you can't compare it to what a hockey coach
does. I mean, and this is an intangible quality, but when you're talking about great coaches, whatever the sport, to me, the really great ones have almost like a regal quality to them. Like, they walk into the room and you go, whoa. Like, I got to stop and listen to this guy. You will stop everything you... And that's why I say Wooden. Because I think Wooden was that kind of presence. Belichick is that guy. He is that guy. There's no two ways about it.
Would you put any baseball manager on
no,
that list?
No, God, please, no.
None, zero.
None, no.
La Russa,
no,
Connie
no,
Mack.
Please, no.
Come on, Casey Stengel,
no,
give me
no,
something.
No, La Russa's a guy that Belichick would invite to dinner and say, oh, thanks for showing up. Like, that's it. Please, the baseball man, no. Absolutely not.
Stu?
Francona.
Thank you, Tito.
I just
maybe
think,
Cora.
Would you stop?
Look, again, I don't know any other way to say it than there's sort of a vibe you get with certain great coaches who are, and really it's about the leadership. And Bill has it. And you know, Lombardi had it. There are a few that have it.
Sure.
There's no question that he has it.
So you think there's a clearer delineation with Belichick in the field than Brady in the field?
I think Belichick is even higher than Brady is. We sit here and we celebrate Brady so much, and we should, because we celebrate the guys in uniform. And look, I've told you, I think that ultimately what tips the scales during this era is the quarterback. But there's just no denying what Belichick has done for the length of time he's done it. And I'm sorry, this Super Bowl, like, this is Bill's moment. You know,
might be his masterwork, especially considering the guy on the other side and how much was said about him throughout the season going into this game, and Sean McVay, and he put him over his knee, pulled down his pants, and spanked him in front of the world.
I mean, when you really get down to it, who had a great year on this team? Did Brady have a great year?
No.
The offensive line.
Okay. Yeah. Right. The line.
Well,
and
the
defense.
Postseason.
Okay. But again, I look at that and say some of that was coaching and scheme. Like, you know, they understood the line strengths, and they amplified it. Like, they really exploited it. But that's what we're talking about, the offensive line. We're not talking about Brady. Gronk went backwards. Edelman missed the first 4 games. Really wasn't right until the end. So Edelman didn't have his best year. McCourty felt like he slipped. Gilmore was good, not great. Like, I'll give you flowers, but how many really great players, how many players on this team had great years?
Okay, so there's your Patriots reset. This and the Celtics and the Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis stuff. Your calls right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
A lot of people, myself included, call you the GOAT. You know what, the GOAT. Greatest of all time.
I don't even like that.
How
I don't even like it.
Feel?
It makes me cringe.
Really?
It makes me cringe. I guess I take compliments worse than I take. I wish you would say, you're trash, you're too old, you're too slow, you can't get it done no more. And I would say, thank you very much. I'm
you're
go
driven,
you
driven by criticism more than you're driven by success.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brady is the GOAT. GOAT, 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 GOAT. I get it.
I think Maz feels about the nickname right about now.
Brady is the GOAT. GOAT, 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 GOAT. I get it.
You know, this might be one of my favorite things that Brady's ever said. And, you know, you were talking about how you like how he acted throughout the week and the weekend, and I'm with you on that. There's almost more of a level of humility to him. I felt like he maybe lost with doing, you know, the Tony Robbins thing and continuing to sell the expensive pajamas and nuts. That he finds this kind of douchey, I love hearing that.
Yeah, I think the whole weekend he was, I felt him to be more down to earth. I love the fact that he accommodated the local guys in these media crushes, gave Kern an exclusive before the Super Bowl, and then, you know, even blowing off Wolfson and the national broadcast to see some players, and I don't know, the whole thing. I just like the way he carried himself the entire weekend. And the answer on the GOAT thing is, at least he's honest about this, right? That much more valuable to the Patriots experience to have people hating on him than goading him up.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, look, to me, he's obviously unique. Competitively, he's extremely unique. But in terms of his behavior the past week, I don't know, after getting Guerrero back and things settled down, maybe he realized how much of a dink he was being last year. Because he was.
It felt like he maybe lost himself a bit with some of the stuff. And, you know, just like, I have all the answers. And the way he talks about, you know, like all his methods, it's like, dude, oh my God, you've turned into Tom Cruise. What is wrong with you?
Oh, good. He really did. He made you want to gag every time you were listening to him. You wanted to puke, for crying out loud. Me, 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 me. The whole time.
Okay, back to your phones. As promised, Joe in the car on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Joe.
I just have a quick take on Kyrie Irving. I was willing to forgive him when I found out he had a friend's tattoo, and I was okay with the whole flat earth thing for a while, the Uncle Drew thing, but now I find out, you know, he's calling LeBron, now he doesn't know if he's going to re-sign, and now he wants to make a movie about a haunted hotel. I'm just done with this guy. We need to trade him, get whatever we can for him. He's not the leader that we hoped he would be. Who is going to follow a guy who has a friend's tattoo?
Okay, let me just stop you on that. Like Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox friends? Like that friends?
Yeah, that friends.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, but I don't know if he has their faces tattooed on his body or just the show logo or whatever.
Brother. So either way,
I'd consider a tattoo of Courtney Cox and Jennifer
Aniston. I'm not trading him for that, but this dude is a handful. There's no question about it.
So look, you know, you know what he's done over the last 10 games?
No, I've just told you. The team and he are finally looking like they could be something. And
to me, ever since that game where he didn't get the ball, okay, was the Orlando game. They played the Brooklyn the next one. He didn't play, remember?
Yep.
Okay, then he came back against Toronto, and that was a game where he had 18 assists and 27 points. Since that time, he's averaging 30 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, and he's shooting 47% from 3-point land. It feels to me like someone got pissed off and instead of talking about being a leader, actually started to act like one.
No, the team looks as good as they've looked all year, I think. I think. You know, the win over the Thunder over the weekend, like I just think they look good. He looks good. That's sort of the side story here. We've got Bob in Marlboro on the Super Bowl. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, the Super Bowl, Maz. I just wanted to talk... Thelga, I just wanted to talk to you about what happened to the speed of the Rams. You said before the Super Bowl that they had speed, 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 and more speed. I'll hang up now and tell me where the speed was.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Thanks for the call. I went to the same place most of my predictions have gone, which is the toilet. They are faster than you. I mean, if you all lined up and ran, they'd be faster. But that was one of my second guesses with the Rams. They didn't play fast. They didn't play fast. Hurry up. Get some matchups where your speed is where you have speed advantages. Your running back, really, versus the Patriots linebackers. Throw to your running backs. Throw to your tight ends. Get on those Patriots linebackers who do not run well sideline to sideline. They just don't. They're great at getting into the backfield, like Van Noy especially and Hightower in these big games. Good knack for rushing the passer and those delayed blitzes. They show good burst there. But those guys going sideline to sideline, that's still a mismatch, and the Rams never tried to exploit it.
It blows me away that at some point in that game, they didn't try to go up-tempo. Like, you know, the Patriots were clearly content to slog that thing up and slow it down. I mean, as they've been doing every week. The easiest thing to do is to say, okay, fine, let's turn it up on them then. Let's try to go faster. And they didn't.
Oh, just so they're screwing around with the play call up against the play clock. Every snap, it felt like.
Donkeys.
Nate in New Hampshire on the greatest of all time. Yes, Nate.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Nate. What do you got?
Well, I don't know if you guys had mentioned. I just turned you on a little while ago. But I think Tim Duncan and Greg Popovich are probably somewhat of a close comparison to the dominance of Brady and Belichick. I want to know your thoughts on that.
Okay, how come Duncan and Popovich aren't on your list? Or
so, look, they're up there, but it's not. They're not on the same level. They're not. Popovich is, to me, higher up than probably Duncan is.
Duncan had five?
Yeah. Yeah, but and again, I discriminate against basketball. I'm sorry. Because a singular player can affect that game more than any other sport. So the other ones are harder. And I just think, man, to coach and organize and manage 53 guys, you know, year after year after year, and get them all pointed in the same direction, that is no easy task, man. Let alone when your quarterback starts to, you know, slide off the ship last year and become an egomaniac.
Here's Eddie and Newton. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, how are you? Just got two things for you guys. I want to know if you want to comment on them. First of all, I don't agree with that guy. We can't trade Kyrie Irving. We're so close to a championship. You guys are just saying how he's dominating. I can totally see him taking over one series, let alone three series. What are we going to get back in return for him? More for the future? The end, the finish line is in sight with this guy, despite what their record shows. The other thing I wanted to just mention that gets overlooked is that, look, if we go all in with Anthony Davis, the insurance policy for Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis. I mean, a lot of other teams, or it's been speculated that some teams were making a pitch at him this year and would turn around and get rid of him next year. So if we get Davis and Kyrie ends up bailing on us, we can always dump Davis. And, yeah, we might have gotten rid of Tatum, but we're sure as heck going to get something good in return.
You're not getting Tatum in return. Let me just stop you there. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Trade for Davis now. Worst comes to worse. He still doesn't want to be here, doesn't want to resign here. You get to next year's trade deadline. Trade him for a nice piece in return. Fair enough. Well, now you've traded Jason Tatum and three first-round picks, call it, to get him. Are you going to get that back as a rental for Anthony Davis?
Why don't you ask the Cleveland Cavaliers how they feel about trading Kyrie?
Well, that story's not been written.
Okay, but the point is, did they get a fair return for him?
Well, we don't know yet.
It's not whether they won the deal. It's whether they got fair return.
Okay, but right, so they did not. Right, obviously.
Right. Isaiah, Jay Crowder, right. And who knows what this other? You're not going to get it. So they and they
especially
made,
as a rental when they traded Kyrie, there was still a year to go.
This
2 years. Thank you, 2 years. This caller scenario, you're getting him for 2 months.
Correct.
So you'll get something back, but nothing close to what you gave up to get him. Now, he says you can't trade Kyrie. The run is more valuable than some crappy return. I think that's a fair point. Like. On one hand, you say, well, you got to trade Kyrie now. If you think Kyrie's gone to the Knicks and that's a fait accompli, you got to trade him now to get something in return versus losing him for nothing. Then again, if he's going to ball out like he's playing right now, he's going to play his ass off, and you can go on a real run, going to the NBA Finals, even to lose it, is more valuable than some crappy return.
And they do match up well with Golden State. I'd rather see that than, you know, getting pocket lint
okay.
in return.
But if you get a good return for Kyrie, you have to consider it now. You have to.
Oh, I think that, yeah, I just have a hard time believing you're going to get a good return for him. So when you weigh it out, what are you going to do? You're going to bite the bullet. And he's playing his best basketball as a Celtic in these last 10 games. I mean, for him, it's only like 7 because he's missed a few. Team's 9-1 in its last 10. He's been off the charts good. He's gone to another level.
We've got Wayne in Yarmouth. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, guys, you're right about Kyrie. It's over here. So if you're Ainge, don't you now try to make a deal? And look, that arrangement that you came up with last week with Milwaukee, I think is a perfect fit for the Celtics.
Thank
what
you.
Do you think?
I want him. Yeah, no, as a Bucks fan, I want him. So let me ask you, just Brogdon as the litmus test. Is getting Brogdon in return for Kyrie worth it? Versus sacrificing a run to the finals?
No.
Not?
Nope.
He'd be a great... Brad Stevens would love that kid.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He'd love him. Oh, man.
Doesn't matter.
Because again, whether like Kyrie.
Oh, he'd be the little fundamental. Oh, he would love him.
Yeah, big deal. I can find another guy like that. I mean, at the end of the day, how much better is Brogdon to make you than Terry Rozier? If Rozier's your starter. He doesn't. The only deal that you would have considered with Kyrie is what Dallas did. You can get Porzingis for him. I'm in.
Right.
Fine. But if you're not getting that kind of deal, no. Like, you know, it's what good does it get to do to get you two B players? It's no good. In that league, it doesn't work.
But again, you're losing him for nothing in the offseason. So the question is it a trip to the finals or Brogdon's more than a B player? A trip to the finals or a B-plus player?
Finals.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I still take my chances. Go to the finals, maybe he changes his mind.
You don't want Thon Maker? I can't sell you on Thon Maker.
What is it with you and Thon Maker?
You need the size. His eighth pick or wherever. He was picked high just a couple years ago.
He sucks.
He's big.
He sucks.
You need rim protection.
He's tall. He's thin. He sucks.
How about Middleton?
He's a bench player.
How about Middleton?
If Middleton were signed and you gave me Middleton, Brogdon, and maybe a pick or something, now maybe I'd think about it. I like Middleton. He can score. And he's a good player. But he's unsigned. So, again, now you're running into the same problem. I would say you're getting closer, but getting him without a contract doesn't do you any good.
We continue with your thoughts after Murray's update. There was some breaking news on the Anthony Davis front. Here it is with Murray, and then we're back with more.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Coach, any thoughts on, being mentioned with in the same vein with Curly Lambeau and George Halas and those dynasties in NFL football history?
It's incredibly flattering. For me, it's about what the team accomplishes, and the most important thing for me is for our team to be able to hold that Lombardi trophy up and say that we were champions. It took everybody, it took the entire team and organization to put forth a superior and supreme effort to achieve that. And that's really what it's about. It's about how all of us came together and kind of pulled our weight so the team could achieve its goals. And, look, Julian did a great job for us, but we had 45 other guys out there last night battling, as well as the coaching staff. And, again, it's what we were able to accomplish as a team that makes me the most proud.
And we talk about these all-time lists and the real GOAT and Brady, Jordan. Maz has got Bill higher and a little more clearly defined than Brady. Interesting.
I mean, listen, I'm more of a Brady guy than a Bill guy. I just think that at the moment, and again, timing is everything, this year and this championship was about the coach. I feel as strongly about that as anything when you really weigh it out. Everything that happened, the Super Bowl and the Eagles, all of that, and then for a year later, for them to be standing here having a parade, hoisting another trophy when Brady didn't have a typical Brady year, Gronk is slipping and may retire, Edelman missed four games and was really not the same player for the majority of the season. Again, I just ask you off the air, who is the MVP of the team this year?
Maybe Gilmore?
So I would go Flowers over Gilmore. If I'm picking a defensive player, I go Gilmore. I go Flowers first. Like I said, just because he represents it, Trent Brown.
I mean, really, though, but that's what we're talking about.
I mean, I think the offensive line was the best, most consistent facet of the team from day one to day 20. And
absolutely
was the best part of the team. Now, the individual guy, like, I don't know.
Maybe. No, but I think it is emblematic or symbolic of what Belichick got out of them this year.
And a year ago today.
Did they have one Pro Bowler?
One.
Yeah, Gilmore.
Gilmore.
Right? I mean, and you know what? And he's overrated. Like, he is. He's a good player.
No. He's a Pro Bowler.
He's not, right. Wasn't he All Pro?
Was he All Pro too?
Second team, maybe?
So All Pro is only one guy at each position. I think there's two corners. So if he's All Pro, I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you the kind of year every corner in the league had. I think he's overrated if you're going to compare him to Ty Law and Darrell Revis and guys like this. But anyway, your point.
I just think that really they were better than the sum of their parts. And to me, that's a reflection on the coach.
And a year ago today, people were calling up saying he should be fired.
Exactly, Murray. I mean, that's what I'm saying, the turnaround.
People were saying this, Murray?
What's that?
People?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was maybe one of those people, too. Still haven't got that explanation as to why Malcolm Butler didn't play in that game. But
boy, what a hill he had to climb in the year. Like, he had to win back his players. He had to win back the fan base. He had to win back the championship. He had to win back all of it. And he did without any singular player having the kind of year that you would look at and go, wow, how would you win without that guy this year? I mean, Brady's probably the MVP still because there's no draw. I mean, you have nowhere to go, right? There's nowhere to turn. But it wasn't a Brady year. To me, this year was all about Bill.
Back to your phones. We'll wrap it up here with you. TC in New Hampshire on the Souths. Yes, TC.
Hey, gentlemen. Just curious. Just think how crazy it would be for Danny to pull a fast one and possibly trade Kyrie's ass straight up for Anthony Davis. This is a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7 without them.
Okay, Pelicans would never take it. I'm just going to cut you off. Pelicans are not going to take a guy whose contract expires in 3 months. Okay, no shot. Your fast one scenario is to trade Kyrie for something really good and Tatum for Anthony Davis right now. Okay, that's your fast one scenario.
Trade Kyrie to the Lakers.
Right.
Get their stockpile and bring Davis to play with them.
Right. Okay, so that's, I mean, I don't think they will or should. I'm just telling you.
I like it.
There's a off the board sort of thing. They can't have Kyrie and Davis on the same team with their current contract till July 1. But if you ditch Kyrie now, you get Anthony Davis now. So just food for thought in that crazy league. Brad in the car on Josh Gordon. What do you want to talk about with Josh Gordon, Brad?
All right, Josh Gordon. So look, I think he met the expectations of the Patriots this year. Here's why. When he was there, he was good enough to play every single down. He was a warm body that took the reps, took the targets, took the catches away from Edelman and Gronk. You guys still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just listening.
Okay. So he took the target. He kept them healthy. The Patriots weren't winning that Super Bowl without Edelman and without Gronk. And there's a good chance they weren't going to be healthy if it wasn't for the reps.
So that's a low bar. He fulfilled his expectations because he was a warm body? Wow. He filled his expectation because Brady, by throwing to him, threw less balls to your good players, thereby keeping them healthy. I've heard some stretches in my day. That's a pretty big one.
I mean, that describes my high school career.
Oh, God. Warm body. He was a warm body. Would you please? They didn't need the guy. They did not need the guy. Didn't need him. Didn't need him. Better without him.
And he gets a ring. And he also changed on his Instagram header to Super Bowl champion.
Okay. So that's fine. Whatever. I'm more interested in the Pats have a big need at receiver. Big. Their two outside guys are persona non grata. Chris Hogan, 0-for-6 in the Super Bowl, and Brady ignored him for over half the year. So I don't know what you're expecting from that guy, if anything. Philip Dorsett didn't even get a sniff in the Super Bowl. And those are your two outside guys. Your inside guy, brilliant. I love him to death. But 32, a lot of hits, PED suspension, all those things. He made it through this year brilliantly, but you're going to need the next guy coming up here soon. Massive need at receiver. Don't tell me you're going to be relying on Josh Gordon next year. He's still under contract, you understand. He's still under contract. He's cheap. He's still cheap.
He's suspended.
Cheap. Suspended for now, but he's in rehab.
I don't want him.
I'm just setting it up because you know how I feel about this guy. Way more trouble than you don't need him. But is that one of their fallback plans next year? Josh effing Gordon? Again? Are we going to do this again?
I wouldn't rule it out with them, would you?
And hire the whole security team to follow him around and make sure. And then he's still slipping. He's still giving you the slip during the bye week because who the hell knows what? I mean, we're going to do this again?
I mean, they're due to bring Kenny Britt back again, too, aren't they? How many times has he been in?
God.
Seriously, bring him in every year. Can you just crying out loud.
You draft a real guy or go sign a real guy.
I told you, I want the kid from Clemson.
I was just looking. He's projected to go anywhere from third to the fifth round.
Hunter Renfrow. I want him.
And the Pats have like 18,000 third to fifth round picks.
Perfect.
Okay.
He'll be cheap.
Paul in the car, what do you got on the Celts?
Okay, so Armageddon, Kyrie's gone. Now, this has an effect on the team where how much do you have to pay Rozier to keep him? You can't lose Rozier, too. Then you have no point guard whatsoever.
You can lose Rozier. What's the diff?
Sure.
You don't think you can go and find another Terry Rozier somehow?
Well, but if they lose, don't you think, though, that part of the reason Rozier's still here is Kyrie insurance?
Okay, if he is, then you pay him. You don't give him the max.
No.
He's not a max player. I don't even think he would, you know, deem that to be the case. And if he wants max money, if he asks for too much money, see you later, and you'll find the next Terry Rozier. He should not be that hard to replace.
So I haven't looked into all the cap ramifications and what they can give him versus other teams or what have you, but I always thought Rozier was here in case Kyrie got hurt. Maybe he's here in case Kyrie leaves.
Well, fine. You still don't overpay that guy.
No, you don't. But, I mean, I think you keep him as a fallback plan.
Ian in Easton on the game. Go ahead, Ian.
Mike, we spoke on Friday, and all I have to say to you is William McGinnis, Ty Law, and Richard Seymour didn't walk through that door, and had they would have been old and gray. So on behalf of the hoodie, we're gonna need you to say six Wisconsin stories.
I really don't understand a thing that you're saying to me.
He's looking for you to apologize.
For what?
I don't know.
For picking the Rams, maybe?
I don't apologize. I can't wait to do it again, in fact. Just for you, Ian.
How dare you have the audacity to pick against a home team?
I look forward to doing it again.
Tool.
Patriots, by the way, have won two championships since when Felger picks the field in playoffs.
Oh, did I do that 2 years ago, too?
Yep, you got backed into the Falcons.
Oh, I did. Oh, that's right.
I did. I got backed into the Falcons. I didn't want them, but I got backed. You're right. I did. I got take cornered.
There's a bit in there somewhere.
Joey in Boston on the Celts. Go ahead, Joey.
Hey, guys. So clearly over the last 2 weeks, Kyrie's been out more than he's been in. So you guys think there's a possibility that the Celtics are keeping Kyrie out so that guys like Tatum and Brown can play at their best so the Pelicans don't make that move with the Lakers?
Why would keeping Kyrie out and having the Celtics I see. They're showcasing the young guys to the Pelicans to say to the Pelicans, really, hold out, because our young players are really good. If you want to see it, watch tonight, because we're in Cleveland and Kyrie's sitting out, and you get all these young players in your face.
I don't think that's it. I think it's all about keeping Kyrie fresh for the spring.
Agreed. I mean, just look at the games he sat out when they played
Cleveland.
When they played the Thunder, he was in there 30 plus minutes and went off. And when they play real teams, he's in there.
Yeah,
like Golden the Knicks, State, who had 10 wins on Friday night.
Well, in case he wants to showcase himself for the fans of New York.
It's his hometown.
I understand what you're getting at there, Jimmy. I understand, but I don't think he's hurt. I don't think.
No, he's fine.
He said he was fine.
There's just this maintenance thing going on with him.
Yes.
Load management.
He missed a game against Cleveland last time. He missed a Charlotte game, which I was surprised by. But he also missed Brooklyn. Like, he sits against the dog food.
Like the Knicks,
Alex,
in Madison Square Garden,
that's a fair,
who had 10 wins.
That's a fair point, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Alex in Rhode Island. Hi, Alex.
10 wins.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going good.
So I think if you look at the Super Bowl and how Brady really wasn't able to throw the ball, I think the main reason is because they really weren't able to establish the run. And then thereafter, they couldn't establish the play-action pass. And Julian Edelman's really the only receiver they have that can get any separation without getting the corners to bite. So I think I agree totally with you guys 100%. They really need to go out and get some receivers to help Brady. Otherwise, you're just going to see them running the ball.
Okay,
and
well,
he's not going to be able to have those big performances.
Now, don't put words in my mouth now. They need receivers because they have none. I don't need them to go get, you know, we don't need to get Randy Moss 2.0. You just need capable guys who get open and catch the ball. And I don't think that's what happened in the Super Bowl. I think Wade Phillips spooked Brady a little bit. He wasn't sure of what he was seeing, and the Rams defensive line got to him a little bit and made him uncomfortable. That's what I think happened there.
Did he say they weren't able to run the ball? Is that what he said? They weren't able to run the ball?
I think he might have said that, Mass.
Even with the juice back there?
I think he might have said that.
I don't know what game he was watching.
I mean, silly me. I thought, you know, they had Barry Sanders Jr. in the backfield. They're not able to run the ball? You know,
student body left, student body right.
Gale Sayers, Walter Payton Jr., call them whatever you want.
This is what we are, man, the Hogs.
Really, Sony Michel, a.k.a. Jim Brown back there?
No.
You weren't able to run
it? I appreciate both of your commitments to die on this hill.
Nothing to die on. They scored 13 points.
And won the Super Bowl.
And people are talking about, oh, look at how the running game led them to a championship. They scored 13 points.
It blows me away that they weren't able to run the ball with Emmett back there.
13 points. Thank God. Thank God we ran the ball all the way to 13 points on the board. Woo!
Tell you what, you could add Curtis Martin back there at his current age and still won that Super Bowl.
Just deny till you die. Respect it.
13 points. It's not like I have to make. Yeah, I don't even have to make that one up. I had to screw around with that one. That was just right in front of your face.
Sony Michel. I would take Jimmy Garoppolo over Sony Michel 7 days a week, twice on Sunday.
Final word, Greg Bedard for a final time fumbling around joins you right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires. Only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So for the final time this Patriots season, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, joined the show. Seemed a little frustrated today.
Oh, boy, was he ever.
But
the big guy's worn down.
Here is the final 10 questions segment from Bedard, as condensed by Hardy for 2018/19.
Field of Mass Murray. Bad.
Number 10, who would you rather have as your head coach? Bill O'Brien or Brian Flores? Big boy. You've had these questions since about 11 a.m.
I mean, Bill O'Brien.
Did you like the game, Greg? Was it a good product?
I like football.
Number 8, Julian Edelman. Is he a Hall of Famer? He was starting to get some Hall of Fame buzz last week.
No chance.
Do you care to expound there, big fella?
Nope.
Your thoughts on Adam Levine and the halftime show. Is his name Adam?
Yeah. I didn't hear it.
Thought it sucked.
Didn't hear any of it.
Smelled.
So I don't know.
Terrible.
Thoughts on the broadcast?
It was crazy.
But anyway, next. Biggest tool bag of Super Bowl week.
Jim Gray for that interview with Toucher and Rich.
That's who I had. You stole it from me.
Oprah knows Stedman. I know Tom. Tom knows Oprah. Giselle knows Oprah.
Okay, here are the current Super Bowl odds for 2019.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Here are the names listed on the board that I saw, the top four. Top three, really. Top three, so there's some ties, so there's more than one for each one. But here are the top three. Tell me the best bet on this board. If you think there's a better bet off the board, you can tell me that as well.
Good luck with all that.
TV Super Bowl ratings were the lowest in 10 years. Does it mean anything?
Does it mean anything? No, but it does mean something.
Final one. Please rank in order. Muhammad Ali, Jack Nicklaus, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, Tom Brady.
I went Gretzky, Jordan, Brady, Nicklaus, Ali.
What?
What?
What, from 5 to 1 or 1 to 5?
No.
No.
You got an ass backwards.
You got an ass backwards.
Well, I mean, what do you want?
Come on.
Okay.
Boob.
Yeah. You don't have him barking at me in the first segment?
Later in the week.
Okay.
Yeah, we're thinking about bigger plans for that.
Okay. You know, because that was good.
Oh, no, that was terrific. Yeah, I'm sensing a Mad Mike come Friday or something.
Oh, he just blurred. He exploded.
Oh, yeah, or Mad Greg.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.